hurting, a loved one slipped away, and there's a parent grieving for a child who's gone astray. And somewhere hearts are breaking from the pain of grief and loss, but everywhere's a Savior with the power of the cross. We have an awesome God who is everywhere. When it feels your world's unraveling, rest assured that He's still there. He sees your past, your present, and your future's in His care. In your darkest night, He's everywhere. The Father has a purpose, a perfect master plan. He sees beyond tomorrow, our future's in His hand. And when ahead the way grows dark, you cannot see His face, look out to Him, He's standing there with His mercy, love, and grace. We have an awesome God who is everywhere. When it feels your world's unraveling, rest assured that He's still there. He's seen your past, your present, and your future's in His care. In your darkest night, everywhere. Draw me nearer, blessed Lord. Draw me nearer to your side. We have an awesome God who is everywhere. When it feels your world's unraveling, rest assured that He's still there. He's seen your past, your present, and your future's in His care. In your darkest night, He's everywhere. In your darkest night, He's everywhere.
Amen. 1 Corinthians 6. Let me start by saying, if you did not hear this morning's message from Romans 13, you need to go back and listen to it. I know many of you were here in the auditorium, but if you weren't, make sure you go back on Facebook and listen to that. I did not know what Pastor was preaching, and he didn't know what I was preaching tonight, but this is where I wanted to go, and this is where the Lord led me to, and honestly, this is not the message I would choose. The message we're going to talk about tonight in 1 Corinthians 6 is one that is of, well, sensitive nature, similar to what we saw this morning in Romans chapter 13. Honestly, I would choose something different because I know the crowd, I know who's here, and I know what we need to deal with. This is where the Lord led. And so it's with a little bit of intrepidation, a little bit of fear that we come to 1 Corinthians 6 tonight. Paul was writing to the church at Corinth, as we know, and it's very interesting to see this church in action and their problems. Paul wrote at least 4 letters to them. We only have the 2nd and the 4th as the inspired, preserved 1st and 2nd Corinthians. They rejected the 1st. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine Apostle Paul walking in tonight and having a seat? I'd sit down pretty quickly. What do you want us to know of the Apostle Paul? But this church rebuffed the Apostle Paul. Yeah, head slap type deal. But here he's going and he's being very forthright. We don't know a lot about the details of their culture, but it seems based on what Paul says here in 1 Corinthians that this is a very forward church. They just told it like it is. And he addresses several of their errors head on. And what we're going to see tonight is that Paul addresses the error that the Greeks had regarding the body. Even in secular culture, the Greeks downplayed the body. And as we'll see here, and as I'll explain by way of interpretation, many of God's people even believe that, well, God has saved my spirit, and so my spirit is sanctified, saved, and that's going to heaven, but this body, it doesn't matter what I do in the body. Well, hold on. Begin looking with me, beginning in verse 9. Follow along as I read out loud. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Meats for the belly, and the belly for meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God hath both raised up the Lord, and will also raise up us by his own power. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? God forbid! What? Know ye not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? For two saith he shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Dear friends, it doesn't take much to look at this passage and see that your body matters to God. I'm going to pray here in a minute. I'm going to ask you to pray quietly while I pray out loud. But pray for me. Pray that I'll have the boldness to say what needs to be said. I realize that many of us have young children in this room, and I don't want to be inappropriate, but at the same time, I want to be faithful to the text of Scripture. So I am in the same boat as you are. I want to be biblical, but I want to be appropriate. And that's my prayer tonight. What we're going to look at is huge. Every single one of us need this truth tonight. Would you join me in prayer? I'll pray out loud. You pray quietly. Father, we need you. Lord, we thank you for this church. Thank you for what you've done in recent days, the people who have trusted Christ. Thank you for those who have gotten on the discipleship journey. Lord, would you help us tonight? Would this truth, this passage, this reminder be a shot across the bow for some of us? Would it be a gentle reminder? Would it be encouragement? Would it be a challenge? Lord, we need you. I pray that you'd help us in this very sensitive subject, very important subject that even we heard a little bit about this morning. Would you help us to be biblical and honest and open and willing to see exactly where we have failed and where we have wrong thinking? Would you show us the lies we have swallowed? And by your help and with your grace, would we take steps forward tonight to walk in newness of life? Would we leave tonight knowing what your Bible says and how we can have victory in our lives? Oh, Lord, I need you. In Jesus' name, amen. As we mentioned, the Corinthians had this error. They were looking at their spirit as something that was valuable. And their body is something that, it's not going to matter. And Paul says, no, wait a minute. He says, first, I want you to consider your past. We read it, verse 9, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. And I don't think I have to explain what that last phrase means. That's very clearly evident in our society today. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Paul's saying this is a list of sins that typify the unsaved. This is not saying that believers can't commit these sins, but he's saying these sins typify the unsaved. And notice what we read there in verse 11. And such, can you say that next word with me? Such were. That's the key word there. Such were some of you. But you're washed. You're sanctified. Ye are justified in the name of our Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. The pastor mentioned it this morning, but positionally in Christ, we are clean. We have the blood of Jesus Christ. When God looks at us, he no longer sees our sin if you're a blood-bought child of God. He sees his precious Son applied to your account. There's no sin on my account in heaven. There's none. Jesus looks up my name in heaven and he says, nope, I see Jesus here. That's righteousness. And that's what we have. And tonight I want to join us to consider our past. That was what we are. That's not what we have to be today. That's not what, by the grace of God, we shall be in the future. But that's what was what we are. And we don't talk about our past, because I know in this room tonight there's several of us who have past that we would like that didn't have to happen. But it's there. It's still there. And that's what it was. It's past. Keep your finger here in 1 Corinthians 6 and look over with me at 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. Here's a verse that always gives me great encouragement, great victory. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse, let me just start reading verse 1, and we'll get to verse 3. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Did you catch that verse, verse 3? God's power, his divine power, the resurrection power has given you and I everything we need for life and godliness. Oh man, it's 2022. You just can't be pure. You just can't raise a godly thing. You just can't be pure. You can't think right. Whoa, whoa, whoa. God's given you everything you and I need for life and godliness. Look what it says there. According to him who hath called us to glory and virtue, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, God has called. He's given you and I a specific calling to glory and virtue. So he's given you everything you need for life and godliness, and he's called you to glory and virtue. You want to talk about a sense of purpose, a sense of clarity, a direction. Here it is right here in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Go back with me and look at 1 Corinthians 6. And look what it says again. And such were some of you, but you're washed. You're sanctified. You're justified in the name of our Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God. That was your past, but that doesn't have to be your present and definitely doesn't have to be your future. Perhaps tonight there's some of us who have bought into a defeatist, fatalistic mindset. I just can't have victory. I just can't. It's my sin. Comes around, gets me. Walk through the video aisle. I'm on YouTube, on my phone, I'm on Instagram, I'm on my phone, whatever the case is. I'm on my laptop, I'm on my computer. It just gets me. It has me. No, it does not. If you are a saved child of God, it does not have you. You are willfully giving yourselves over to it. You and I, through the power of God, not us, not our determination, not our rededication, not anything here. Flesh is weak. Through his power, we have victory. That's your past. It doesn't have to be your present. It doesn't have to be your future. Secondly, I want you to realize your purpose. Look at verse 12 with me. Paul begins here, and stay with me for a little bit because I need to explain this passage. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. Obviously, we can read in Galatians that Paul was the apostle of liberty. He preached not the law, that we are under a specific law, but that we are free in Christ. That doesn't mean we get to do whatever we want and live like barnyard animals. No, 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 no. That law, as we'll see, is limited by two things, as we'll see in this verse. But what Paul often does in the book of Corinthians, and if you read through Corinthians, sometimes phrases don't make sense, but I believe we'll see several of them here tonight. What Paul often does is repeat back to the Corinthians their error. Now, stay with me. This is what many good men would differ. Pastor was talking on Wednesday night about how different men interpret Hebrews. Well, different men interpret this way. But this is what I believe, and I'm going to just make it clear that this is my interpretation. And good men, many men in the writers and the commentaries believe this as well. But this is what I believe what's happening. The Corinthians are turning Paul's license on its head, and they're saying to themselves, all things are lawful for me. That's the first part of verse 12. They're saying, all things are lawful for me. I can do whatever I want because after all, God's going to destroy the body. And so I can do whatever I want. And Paul says, no, 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 no. But all things are not expedient. The Corinthians say again, but all things are lawful for me. I can do whatever I want because after all, my body is just going to be destroyed, but my spirit's eternal and it's saved, it's sanctified. Paul says, no, no, no. Look at the end of verse 12. But I will not be brought under the power of any. So Paul is disagreeing. He's mentioning what the Corinthians say, the Corinthian slogan, we should say. And he's saying, no. That's not truth. Look at it again. The Corinthians are saying, all things are lawful for me. I can participate in filth because after all, it's just in my body and it's not in my spirit. Therefore, I can participate in it. And Paul says, no. Look what it says there. But all things are not expedient. He says there's a limit to our liberty here, friends. It's called love. Expedient means helpful, encouraging, useful. How are you and I showing love to our Christian brothers, love to our neighbors when we're participating in garbage? It's not. And in general, our liberty is limited first and foremost by our love toward our brother. If Romans 14 talks about it, if your brother is going to make your brother stumble, then don't do that. That limits our liberty. And Paul here is saying, no. Your liberty should be limited by love for a brother or sister. And stop and think about it. Let's just be frank. I'm going to be very careful, but be very frank. Participating in filth or fornication with someone that is not your spouse is not showing love to them, their family, or anybody in the church. It's not. That's where liberty ends. Look at the second thing that the Corinthians say. All things are lawful for me. But Paul responds, look at this at the end of verse 12. I will not be brought under the power of any. So not only does love limit our liberty, but secondly, lordship of Christ limits our liberty. I will not be brought under the power of any. As we'll see in this passage, as we see in the New Testament, you and I belong to God. He's Lord. That's who he is. Everything we have, everything we are, everything we hope to be is his. He bought us. He owns us. We'll see it here. So Paul says, hey, anything in your life that keeps you and I from living under the lordship of Christ should be tossed aside. Kind of the message this morning, if you're paying attention. Hey, anything in your life that keeps you and I from living under the lordship of Christ. Specifically in this passage, it's sexual sin, fornication, harlotry, all these big sins. But specifically in our lives, anything that is keeping from us from living under the lordship of Christ needs to be laid aside. It could be something deep and dark, and I'm sure in this room tonight there are people who are struggling, and you would be embarrassed to tears to let other people know that. But because of what Christ has done, because of who he is, because of who we are, it's time to lay that aside and put everything under the lordship of Christ. There's vices that could be present in this room tonight. I don't have any doubt about that. And what's happening when you and I participate in that garbage, we are putting somebody else on the throne of our life. And Paul says, no. When you and I participate in filth, when we entertain it, when we participate physically, somebody else, namely ourselves, is Lord of our life. Paul says, no, I'm not going to be brought under the power of any. This is why filth in digital form today is so destructive and powerful. It controls. It is more addictive, the sociologists say, than crack. It gets in your mind. It creates mental pathways. It destroys. And I wish I was only talking to one gender. According to statistics, 52% of males, that's Christian males, struggle with filth. I'm being very general. Pastor addressed this morning too. 20-something percent of Christian females today struggle with filth as well. It's gotten quiet. That's the day we live in. I'm not condoning it, but it's here. And what that does, it takes Jesus out of being the Lord of our life, and it puts ourselves there, our feelings, our whatever, our wants, our desires, our passions become the Lord. It becomes our guide. And Paul says, no. The reason I don't is because of love. The second reason I don't is because of lordship. And I can't bring anything into that, under those categories, love and lordship, loving others, loving God and loving others, and then also lordship of Christ. If they can't fit under those two, then I'm going to do away with it completely. That's what Paul's saying here. But it just doesn't have to stop with deep, dark passion issues. anything that is keeping us away from the Lordship of Christ. It could be a job, it could be food, it could be any number of things. It could be education, it could be any number of things. It needs to be laid aside. That's what Paul is saying here. Love for God and my neighbor and the Lordship of Christ. Anything that destroys those two or takes those two down, I get rid of. So no, Corinthians, you're not right. Well, I can do whatever I want because my body's going to be destroyed. And No. You got this all wrong. Look what it says there also in verse number 13. Meats for the belly and the belly for meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. Now, let me just stop there and give another little brief blurb about interpretation. Good men will differ on this, but I would see, and many others would see as well, if you put quotation marks around the beginning, meats for the belly, belly for meats, but God shall destroy both it and them, and then close those quotation marks. That is what the Corinthians were saying. Because if you look at this, then it doesn't really make sense with the rest of what we know of Scripture. Meats for the belly and the belly for meats. What are they saying there? In essence, they're saying, God created me with certain appetites, and he created me to fulfill those appetites. And most people in this room tonight would know where that analogy would go to. God's given me this ability, so certainly he expects me to use it. Not outside the context of one man, one woman for life. And again, I'm trying to be very careful, but very biblical here. So the Corinthians are saying, hey, God gave me this ability. God gave me these desires. He gave me this drive. And God just gave it to me, so I need to use it. And after all, look what it says there. They say we're saying as well, God shall destroy both it and them. This belly, it's for meat, and meat's for the belly. God's going to destroy it all, i.e. God's going to destroy this whole body. So let's just live it up and live as pagans, because after all, my spirit is sanctified. My body, it's going to be destroyed. Whoa, no. That's not the way this thing works. Look what it says there at the end of, beginning of halfway through verse 13. Look what Paul responds with. Can you say it with me, beginning with now? Now, the body is not for fornication. Now, that was pretty weak. I'm going to be speaking tonight, this summer, in 5 different youth camps. And oftentimes, when I'm preaching to teens or juniors, I have them repeat back to me several times. But I know it's Sunday night. Some of us have been busy. That was pathetic. We got to do better than that. If you leave here with anything, I want you to leave here with this phrase. So say it with me with some authority, like you're alive and you're alert, even though many of you, I can see your eyeballs just going like, some of you are already out before I even got up to preach. So say it with me. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord. Can you say it again? Just tell you what, let's just have the teen men. I know they're concentrated down here. Let's have the teen men say this. Here we go. Say it with me. Now the body. Can I have the teen girls? I know the teen guys sit right here. The teen girls are scattered throughout. They guess they get other social time, I guess. So teen girls, here we go. Say it with me. Now the. Okay, ladies. Here we go, ladies. Say it with me. Now the. Okay, men, here we go. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord. Do you feel like you're back at youth camp or something? It needs to be a little bit hotter. It needs to be sweat running down my face. And yeah, that's youth camp, isn't it? And everyone smells by Thursday. Yes. You laugh, but this is youth camp. But wouldn't it be great if we all lived that out? Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord. Paul's like, no, you've got this all wrong. The Corinthians were saying, meats for the belly for meats. God's going to destroy both it and them. Paul's like, no. The body is not for fornication. It's for who? The Lord. The body's not for me. It's not for my desires. It's for the Lord. The body's not for fornication. It's for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. Look at verse number 14. And God hath both raised up the Lord and will also raise up us by his own power. He disagrees. The Corinthians are saying, well, God's just going to destroy this body. I can live with. No. You're missing it. God's raised up the Lord and he's also going to raise up us by his own power. You read through the New Testament. We believe strongly in a bodily resurrection, both for the just and the unjust. And this is free, and this is, I don't want to cause contention, this is historically why God's people have believed in burial rather than cremation. Now, I realize that God is completely competent and powerful to resurrect those who have been cremated bodily. There will be those who have been, ashes have been spread abroad, those who are lost at sea type deal, you can't put their body back together. But historically, God's people have believed in a bodily burial because we believe in a bodily resurrection. Yes, God can collect all my pieces back together when it's time. I fully expect him, and he's quite capable of doing that. But notice what it says here. Paul's like, no, Corinthians, you got this all wrong. God raised up the Lord. He's going to raise you up as well, bodily. It matters what you do in your body. It does. You know, the Corinthian error 2,000 years ago was the separation of body and spirit. It was the lie that they believed. I don't know that too many people here tonight would believe that lie, but some of us may believe other lies. Hebrews 13:4, keep a finger here in 1 Corinthians and look over at Hebrews. Here the author gives this one powerful verse. And if you're struggling with your thought life, you need to memorize Hebrews 13:4 and say it every day. You probably need to memorize 1 Corinthians 6:13 too. Now, the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord. But look what it says in Hebrews 13:4. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. It could be that there's some here, especially young people here tonight, and you think to yourselves and you believe the lie that the world has told you that it's always more fun to date than to be married. You look at, turn on television, and any couple that you see on television is usually fighting. They're usually at each other. You turn on, okay, one of the popular networks. A couple years ago, I was in Africa, three, four years ago. I was in Zambia. I went over on this visitation to go to this house to sit down with these people and talk with them about truth. And I walk in, and there's this 60-inch flat-screen television on the wall, and it's playing Disney. And it's on. I'm like, couldn't we just leave that over here and let you guys alone? But what I noticed is I'm trying to witness, and my friend was actually speaking in their language of witnessing to them and speaking truth to them. I noticed this just, it was blaring. It was 60 inches, and it's the room about the size of this platform right here, so you can't help but notice it. But they were portraying this mom and dad as buffoons, absolute buffoons. And these young people, these teeny boppers, knew everything. They were brilliant. And, you know, you follow that logic along and you find that most of the sitcoms, most of our emphasis, most of the social media people are all single people and they're living it up. And that's the emphasis of today. And God says, no, that's a lie that the devil has thrown out and he's hooked many of God's people. Well, I want to have fun. I want to date. No. God honors marriage. Marriage is honorable and all. Could be that there's a second thing that there's people who believe, well, there's just something dirty or raunchy or sinful about the marriage bed. Notice what it says again in verse 4. Marriage is honorable and all, and the what? The bed undefiled. I'm going to be very appropriate, very careful, but there's nothing raunchy, sinful, or dirty in the marriage bed. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. It's made by God himself. Hollywood didn't even think it up. God called it good. There's nothing wrong, nothing evil. Young people, those of you who are not yet married, I heard this as a teenager, and it startled me at first, but I'm going to tell it to you tonight. God does not want you to be pure until you get married. Wait a minute. That goes against most of what I've heard at youth conferences and youth. Yeah, I'm going to say it again. God does not want you to be pure until you get married. God wants you to be pure your entire life. There's nothing dirty, nothing wrong, nothing sinful about marriage. It could be there's a third lie, and that's simply the lie of homosexuality. Keep your finger in Hebrews 13. And actually, I think we're probably done with Hebrews 13. Go back with me to 1 Corinthians 6. Let me just speak to this very, very briefly and very appropriately. But you see there in verse 9, you see nor effeminate nor abusers. Let me just say this. I'm going to leave it at this. The effeminate there is the one who is being acted upon. The abuser is the one who's acting. I'm going to leave it at that. It's wrong. It's wicked. It is a scourge on our society. And there's some people perhaps in this room tonight, through the influence of social media, through coworkers, through family members, who you've started to cater your attitude toward it. You started to crave, it's not maybe not crave it yet, but you've started to, well, you know, that's just, no. I'm not advocating for one second that we'd be mean, nasty, and ill will toward anybody. They are hurting, broken people. I was out today and I saw four gals. They're broken. Yes, it's disgusting, but they're broken. Broken, broken, broken. They need the gospel. But perhaps you're here tonight and you started to cave to it. No, that's a lie. It could be that you're thinking to yourself tonight, and this could be both unmarried and married. Well, it's more fun to have an illicit relationship. In Proverbs 19, the wicked woman comes and says, stolen waters are sweet. Bread eaten in secret is pleasant. There's something about the human psyche that says when we're told no, what do we want to do? We want to look. We want to participate. We want to enjoy. We want to experience. We want to see what that movie's all about. Even though we see it, we see the rating, we see the advertisements, we know it's wrong, and the Holy Spirit says, no, we want to look at it. And perhaps there's some here tonight, you've bought into the lie that if I had a relationship outside of marriage, it'd be exciting, it'd be exhilarating, it'd be fascinating. No. It's a lie. It could be that you're thinking, you're a young person, you're thinking, well, that, you know, physical relations are just more fun when you're young. When you get married and you're old, like 25 or 26 or something, they're no longer fun. Let me be appropriate as I'm trying to be. Actually, God designed it that the pleasure actually increases. And as you give your soul to that marriage spouse, pleasure is for a long time coming. It increases. It's gotten quiet, and I know this is awkward, but young people, 18, 19 is not where it's at. 2021 is not where it's at. It's marriage. Marriage is honorable and all, and the bed undefiled. It's what God has created. It's beautiful. It's holy. It's wonderful. Wait and enjoy and keep enjoying, and it gets better and better and better. Don't buy into this lie of the devil. Could be that some would say, well, that's just the way guys think. You know, this whole talk about this matter, that's just the way guys think. That's just the way girls talk. That's just what's on Instagram. That's just on social media. That's just what's in the novels. That's, you know, that's magazines. That's on the sports sites. That's just the way it is. No. God's called us to glory and virtue. He hasn't called us to live like barnyard animals. No. That's a lie. It could be finally that, and this is not an exhaustive list of lies that we could believe. It could be that I won't get caught. Everyone's doing it. I'll get away. It's just me that's affecting. I know it's wrong, but it's just me. It's just me in my room by myself on my phone. It's just me. No. It's not. It destroys. Go back with me and look at 1 Corinthians 6. And can we say that phrase again that we all hopefully by now have learned? Beginning in verse 13, say it with me. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord. Friends, you and I may not have separated the body and spirit like the Corinthians did in 2,000 years ago, but it still is the same true. We believe lies readily. We believe lies so often about this matter. And Paul wants to set us straight. And the entirety of the New Testament wants to set us straight. No, the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord. And it would do guys and gals us good if we remembered that. We're walking through a store and we see something. Something prompts us. We're on our phones trying to do some work, trying to make a call. On our computers getting some email done. We see something. No. The body is not for fornication, but for the Lord. The body is not for fornication, but for the Lord. Can you say it with me again? Now, the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord. Let's say it one more time. I want you to remember this. Now, the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord. So that's consider the resurrection. Number four, think on your union. Look at verse 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 15. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Hey, you've been joined to Christ. Again, this is referenced, I believe, this morning. You've been joined to Christ. 1 Corinthians 3, if you look back just a few pages, 1 Corinthians 3:16, know ye not that ye are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Paul said in Ephesians chapter 5, for we are his members of his body, of his flesh and of his bones. You and I, at the moment of salvation, have been joined to Christ. You have the Holy Spirit in you. You have Christ with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Even if you want him to on that dark night on the chat room, he won't. He's there. So think on that. Think on your union. Look what it says there in verse 15. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Paul asks this hypothetical question. Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? And the words you see there next in the Greek are the strongest words in our Bible. Greek, it's meganoita. We are translated in our Bibles, God forbid. No, no. What are you thinking? No. That's the essence of God forbid. It's like, oh, no, probably shouldn't think. No, no, no. It is no. Perish the thought. Don't even let that thought enter your mind. Shall I take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? No. Look at verse 16. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? For two saith he shall be one flesh. This gets into the very nature of the sin. This sin goes to the very heart, the core of who we are. Sexual sin attacks the image of God in an incredible way. God has made you and I, when man and woman join together, it is for life. It is one flesh. What you tear apart after that, you're tearing apart. It hurts. You're destroying it. You don't have one anymore. You tear it apart and you have less than that. Well, I can be fine. No, you can't. You join yourself to somebody in immorality, whether it be physical or digital, you are destroying the union. You're tearing down the union that you have with Christ. Imagine with me, you're gone on vacation for 2-3 weeks. And a farmer comes to you and says, hey, while you're gone, I would like to use your house. And you're like, for what? Well, I've got the shipment of pigs coming in. And I need a place to put the pigs. I'll clean it completely up. You won't even know the pigs have been there. Some of you parents of teenagers are thinking, well, can I have a bedroom because it looks like that right now anyway. What would you say? No. 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 Okay. Second, somebody comes to the church here, gathers the pastoral staff and the men of the church and says, hey, I got a proposition for you. I got something I want to ask you. Your auditorium sits vacant most of the week. And truth be told, we only use this auditorium 4 or 5 hours a week, sometimes more, but usually 4 or 5 hours a week. What if we came to you and we pulled out all the pews every Monday morning first thing? We set up a casino in here. And by Wednesday night, we'll have it all cleaned out, and then we'll put it all back Thursday. And by Saturday night, we'll have it all ready for church. It would be good money. Some of you are like, are you saying what I think you're saying? What would we say to that? No! 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 Sorry, I woke some of you up. If we're going to be that insistent about a physical building, this is the temple of God. No. No. Say it with me. The body is not for fornication. Yes. This body is not for fornication, but for the Lord. You've been joined into Christ. Don't mix that up. Don't mess around with that. You have the Holy Spirit living in you. You have Jesus with you forever. You've been joined, spiritually joined, eternally joined unto him. Realize that. Think on that. Consider that. Look at our escape. Look what it says there in verse number 18. Flee fornication. Notice Paul doesn't say dialogue, reason, or think you can handle it. Run! 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 Flee! Think about old Joe. Here, he's 19, 20 years old. He's got all the hormones of a 19, 20-year-old. He is practically dead. He's dead. His brothers killed him pretty much. Actually, it would have been better to die. He was actually worse than death. He was sold into slavery. Here he is. He's by himself. He's a foreigner. No one knows he's alive. But what does he do when Mrs. Potiphar comes along and says, hey, come on. He says, drop dead. Ain't happening. No way. But Joe, no one's looking. No one knows. God's given me a vision. God's given me a dream. God's got something for me. God's got a passion. God's got a plan. God's got something for me. I don't see how it's going to happen right now, but no. I've got something bigger. I've got something better. God's calling me to something greater. No. And it cost him dearly. Friends, here's our escape. Throw the phone away. Get off the internet. Get on accountability software. Get accountable with your spouse. Get accountable with your parents. Don't mess around with this stuff. Don't think you can handle it. Don't think, well, it's just my private struggle. I'm going to get, no. Flee. Don't go there. Quit your job. Don't go to that place anymore. Unfriend people on Facebook. Delete Facebook. Delete Instagram. Get radical here. Get rid of it. Sometimes we kill ourselves because we play around with, well, I can handle it. No, you can't. If you think you can handle, and this is original with me, I've heard this several times growing up. If you think you can handle sin like that, you are godlier than David, wiser than Solomon, and stronger than Samson. Anybody here qualify for that? Do you know what that means for the rest of us? Flee. Run. Perhaps it's time tonight for some families to get on internet accountability software. Put some filters in place. You know, they still make these things called flip phones. Well, I need my internet. For what? How's it helped you? There are some of us who actually need it, but we got to be guarded. And even innocent things can very quickly turn into a, whoa, what was that? And instantly that image is there in our mind, that thought is there in our mind, and no, flee. If there's a pattern of failure, stop the pattern. Perhaps it's a time of struggle each week that you're struggling with in a certain place at a certain time. Change it up. Tell your spouse about it. Tell your parents about it. Hey, I struggled this time. I need help here. No one here is perfect. No one here is like, oh, you. You know, the challenge of preaching these type of messages is that there's always this judgment because who's going to go forward for this? Hey, friends, got news. We're all in this together. Not a one of us has this thing mastered. As long as we're living in the flesh, we need help. Not a one of us tonight is standing in judgment saying, I have mastered this sin and I will. No. We're all here needing help, needing grace. And God said, get out of it. Flee. Get away. Notice what it says there at the end of verse number 18. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication is sinneth against his own body. Now, again, I would take this, and I have read good men who would differ on this, but I'm going to give you what I have come to the conclusion this is talking about. I believe here, again, you have a Corinthian slogan. If you take quotation marks and you put before every sin that a man doeth is without the body, then end the quotation marks. That is a Corinthian slogan. And it goes back and fits with what we just talked about. Well, every sin I commit is without the body. It's not in my body because, after all, it's in my spirit. My spirit can't sin because it's saved. Because, after all, my sin is only in my spirit, and my spirit doesn't sin. Just my body. My body doesn't matter. And Paul says, no. I've often struggled with this, and I've heard good men try to explain this. Well, every sin was about that. Well, what about gluttony? That's definitely in the body. What about drunkenness? That's in the body. So how do you jive this? And I've heard good men try to work around this, but I believe what's happening here is you have a Corinthian slogan. Every sin is without the body. It's outside the body, so I can do what I want to do. And Paul says, no. Look what it says there. But I disagree, Paul says. He says, I disagree. He that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. I believe you have a dichotomy in this verse. Paul says, flee fornication. The Corinthians say, every sin I commit is without the body. Paul says, no. He that committeth fornication sinneth against your own body. Read Proverbs, especially young men. A wound and dishonor shall he get, and his reproach shall not be wiped away. Isn't it sad how many friends we have? And I know there's even some in this church. And I'm not trying to cause contention or hurt. You think about their life and their ministry and their, oh yeah, they messed up. Could have happened decades ago. Oh, yeah, they failed. There's something stained, something that sticks. It hurts. It destroys. Some of the best preachers I've ever heard today aren't behind a pulpit because of the sin. Watch out. And I'm just talking about preachers. I'm talking about dads, moms. I'm not just talking about 20-year-olds. I'm talking about 60 and 70-year-olds too. It kills. It destroys. Notice as we close here, your ownership. Verse 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Hey, your body is the temple. And we know these verses. I memorized these verses back when I was in elementary school. But hey, it's good for us to be reminded. Your body is the temple of Christ. You're not your own. You don't belong to you. And anytime you take something that's not yours and use it for somebody else or something else, it's called stealing. And so many times you and I have stolen from God because He's called us to be holy. He says, that's my body right here. Your bodies matter to God. And say it with me, the body is not for fornication, but, oh, you've gotten weak. You're getting tired. We're almost done, friends. Say it again. The body is not for fornication, but for the Lord. Verse 20, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Years ago, there's an evangelist named Paul Levine. And Paul Levine is a man that has that had an impact on my life. He was from south of here, but he was traveling one night between meetings on a train. And he was in a car just sitting there kind of chugging along. And so this is obviously several decades ago. I never got to hear him preach. He was passed before I was on the scene. But I have had his influence has had an influence on me through different preachers. But one night, Paul Levine was traveling by train, and some of the men up ahead, there was about three or four men, or maybe five, and they said, hey, you, over there, you want to come up with us and play cards? You want to gamble? And Paul Levine looked at them and said, I can't. He said, why not? I don't have hands. They looked at him kind of funny and said, what are those things at the end of your arms? Oh, these? These aren't mine. They're God's. And wouldn't it be wonderful if we all lived like that? These aren't mine, they're God's. This isn't mine, it's God's. Your bodies, every member of it, matter to God. It's summer, as was mentioned this morning, Pastor mentioned it. Here you're coming into summer. Students, you're about to end. Not yet. Four more days. And you know, your schedule is going to be different. Be careful. Here we're coming into summer, going on vacation. Some of us are going to get away. It's easy for us. Oh, I'm just going to relax. I'm going to watch something. I'm going to view something. I'm going to look. Be careful. Watch for those unguarded times. Your bodies matter to God. Perhaps some of us have become fatalistic. It's 2022. That's just what the culture is. You just can't be holy. You can't be. No. He's called you. He's given you everything you need for life and godliness. He's called you to glory and virtue. Yes, you can. Tonight is a challenging message. I try to be very appropriate, very biblical, very clear. It's always challenging because when you preach something like this, I know many of you wouldn't, but when I preach something like this, I'm preaching to myself because I don't have this. I need God's help. I need God's truth. I need God's word. There's also the do I respond to this? Is everyone going to put people? No, who cares about that? We're all in this. We all need God's help. Tonight's the night. Flee fornication. The body's not for fornication, but for God. Let's all bow our head and close our eyes. I don't believe it's an accident that Pastor preached what he preached this morning, and the Lord led me to preach what I'm preaching tonight. How many would say, Brent, tonight, God convicted, God challenged, God got me. Would you lift your hand honestly before God? Amen. Amen. Okay, let me just stop right here. Many of you had your heads bowed and eyes closed, but about half of you just now raised your hands. You know what that tells me? This is a common problem. This is something we need help with. I'm going to pray and the piano is going to begin. If God has spoken, you respond how he wants you to. Father, we've all failed. We need you. But you've called us to glory and virtue. You've given us the grace. You've given us the commandments to be obedient. Help us to live this truth out. Help me to live this truth out. I need you. In Jesus' name. Let's stand to our feet. Piano's beginning. God's spoken. You respond.